produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313. They are
that are on this conference call on today. This is William Wright from Memphis, Tennessee, in the United States of America. And I am excited to be coming just to share with you for a few moments. I understand that I have here Rabbi Cohen and Rabbi Schwartzberg and Rabbi Michael, Rabbi Sandberg, Rabbi David, Rabbi Abrams, and Rabbi Katz. And so, again, it's my divine pleasure just to be able to be with such great men of God, and I'm thankful and I'm grateful to be able to share with you on today. I thank God for my daughter, Kayla Padgett, the great ministry that she's doing around the world. She's a significant aspect to ministry, and I'm grateful just to be able to be on to share with each of you. I'm thankful for the state of Israel, that nation that's a God-given nation, and we got to understand that the chosen people of God there have been such a formidable aspect for and a standstill spot for nations around the world. You are always under everybody's microscope, even those that basically have their adverse reaction toward you all. People recognize your importance to the kingdom. You all have basically throughout entire history of the world, the people of God has always been under some type of attack. But God keeps on manifesting himself and proving himself through his word and his love for his people, and continues to sustain you in the midst of great adversity. We here at the Liberty Church, as well as the Tennessee Southwest jurisdiction here in Memphis, Tennessee, stand with Israel 100%, basically in your formidable aspects that you all are being challenged with. I thank God that God's word is never wrong. And one of the scriptures, even in the Holy Bible, says he'll never leave you, that he'll never forsake you. And he'll be with you, not hard time, but he will be with you always. I'm so grateful and thankful for even the relationship that has been established between myself and you all through my daughter, Kayla Padgett, that she has established. You all, basically, will be victorious, even in the midst of this adversity that's going on now. God is on your side. The descriptive nature of the Bible said that God is not a man that he shall lie, nor is he the son of man that he shall repent. But if God has said anything concerning his people, Israel, let me tell you something. God got a delivery date with your name on it. And when I mean a delivery date, in other words, God has you covered. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You are the people of God. We stand with you. 100% this pastor. My name, William S. Wright, one of the bishops of the Church of God in Christ, right here in Memphis, Tennessee, Pastor's Liberty Church of God in Christ. And we stand 100% with Israel, even in this trying moment. But I do want to encourage you all, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You stay united together. God got a miracle and a delivery date coming your way. And I stand with Israel 100%. I thank God that the United States of America, that we yet stand with Israel. And I believe that there is a day that where the mighty hand of God shall be manifested in such a way that even those that could not even see and understand what is happening now will come running asking, what must I do to be saved? I'm grateful, I'm thankful, and I want Israel to recognize one thing, that God himself is in total control. You shall be victorious. And again, we stand with you. This is Bishop William S. Wright, pastor of the Liberty Church of God in Christ in the city of Memphis, Tennessee. I'm also the jurisdictional bishop of Tennessee Southwest Ecclesiastical Jurisdiction right here in the United States. I want you to know that you are the best people. And again, I say shalom.
Now, Lord, we bless your name, thanking you for this moment, this opportunity, and just to stand before such a great people. Thank you for this great church, Church of God in Christ. Thank you for what you have done for the church and through the church. But here we stand before these great people, and we ask that you would word these lips of clay. And I speak not just as another man, but as an oracle of Christ. That bodies would be healed. Backsliders be reclaimed. Sinners would be saved. And your people pointed into the direction of holiness. And we'll be mindful to take no credit, but we give you all the praise and all the glory and all of the honor. Shall be thine, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on and bless him today. All over the building, come on and just bless him. He's worthy of the praise. I want you to take your seat in the essence of time. Be remiss not to address the great leader of this church in the person of the Bishop Charles Edward Blake Sr. Let's hear it for our leader. Want to say thanks to Bishop Blake for this awesome opportunity and task to stand before such a great people. I want you to get your Bibles and go briefly with me to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 28. I want you to go there, and while you're going there, God bless the chairman of the Board of Bishops and the Bishop John Henry Sheard, our chairman of the General Assembly. God bless him, and to also our General Secretary, God bless him, Bishop Lyle. Acts chapter 28 and verse 1. You would find these words, and it reads, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. I just want to stop right there and talk to you from a topic entitled "When the Snake Bite, Shake It Off." You ought to tell somebody that, when the snake bite, shake it off. In today's society, when and you look at the stance as where the church is today, we must recognize that the church is as a very pivotal point in its existence. There are so many different concepts and ideologies and self-made revelations that the saints are simply falling prey to. And it seems that the church is at the point of a spiritual crisis. And I was just thinking the other day, just maybe the church has become snake-bitten. Snakes is not something that many people just like to deal with. I know there are some that have them at pets, but they're not in a majority. Most folk will give up the space for a snake. People have moved out of homes because they saw the snake go in, but just didn't know where he was. And that was the last time that they would reside in that house. We found out that people now have accepted the world's challenge and look like we're falling prey to the world's system. And there are so many things that I just wonder, is heaven itself crying concerning the stance that the church has taken? And when I say the church, I'm not necessarily talking about the church of God in Christ, but we are not excluded. We must understand that we are under the world's microscope. The world is basically looking at us from every angle. And by the same token, look like we're giving them ammunition to shoot back at us. Well, we hear so many different things, and basically when most of us like to brag about how many generations we've been in the church, and it's not enough to talk about how long we've been in the church, but we need to start talking about how long the church been in us. We got some issues, and I know sometimes we call it condescending when we begin to talk about our own house, but I stand here as a gospel preacher, and I think that preachers ought to preach concerning what the God of the Bible has dictated to us to preach. What has happened that the church has become snake-bitten? Well, the world itself is trying to rewrite the Bible, and we find out that it's doing everything it can to cause the church to lose its identity. Oh, now I know that there was times that we had some things that we was very sincere about, and it's very possible we could have been sincerely wrong. But then there are some things and there are some landmarks that we should never forget. We should never forget the much prayer that was gone out for the establishment of this great church. We should not ever forget the groundwork that was laid by the leaders that form this great church, and many sacrifices that have gone forth that for us to enjoy what we enjoy today. Well, the only way that Satan can really trick the church and deceive the church, he can't deceive the church from the nightclub. He can't deceive the church from out in the streets. But he can deceive the church from within the church. And the only way that can happen is with people of influence. And we find out that we live in a day and time to where we give more credence to people of influence than we do to the God of the Bible. I note the fact that even in Bible study at Liberty, people will read somebody else's book quicker than they'll read the Bible. Oh, I know you all don't have that problem. It's amazing how we can come up with all of the paths and all of the angles about what it takes to be strong in the Word, but we never use the Word to be able to formulate our arguments. What we must understand is that when a church gets snake bitten, we cannot be as effective as what God has established us to be. Even members, when they get snake bitten, you find out when they first come into the church, and you find even those that basically come into holiness, and they're all excited when they get saved. They go back home, won't everybody get saved. They go to school, go back to college, won't everybody get saved, until some unexcited greeter meets them and have another prayer meeting at Shawnee's. And all of a sudden gives them the heels of the church. And where a person was on fire for the Lord, you see them move from the front row partially back to the middle of the church, and give them 3 more weeks, they at the back of the church. And a week after that, they out the door. Been snake bitten. And we're not using the tenets of the Bible. And we act as if the Bible is now old and fogy. But I read somewhere where God is the same. The same God yesterday, He's the same God today, and He'll be the same God tomorrow. Must note the fact that when we look at the principles of what the Bible has structured for us, we grew up on that. We grew up basically may not have been crossing all the T's properly and dotting all the I's, but we had a strong sense of respectability for the church. Matter of fact, we had a strong sense of respectability for the leaders. But in today's actions that we see pointed toward the church, I can understand why some people say, I don't want to go up in there. And we got to understand that everything we see the world do is not equipped for us to do. And look like we ought to set the standards for the world and quit letting the world set the standards for us. The Bible is the church's guideline, and we get our directives from the Bible. And Satan himself uses every tool he has in his arsenal to deceive God's people. Must understand, he's a master deceiver, and the name of his game is called confusion. And long as you can keep the church confused, as long as you can keep us at each other, as long as you can keep us disliking each other. And you got to understand that when confusion is running rampant, people gonna run out. Folk is not looking for confusion when they come to church. They want to hear a word from the Lord. And so we cannot afford to forget where God has brought us from. As a matter of fact, our spiritual life is not governed by the federal government, but is governed by the God of the Bible. And I know that there's so many confusing tactics that the government itself is even using. And without being an indictment on any individual, we must understand there are some things that we was taught to believe in. And I still believe that it holds today. If whatever it was, if God hated it in the Old Testament, He didn't start liking it in the New Testament. We must understand it's confusing because of some issues that we could not tackle, that we began to mingle with. And so we took on the syndrome that if you can't beat them, we might as well join them. And so now we basically, back in the day when people got filled with the Holy Ghost, matter of fact, didn't nobody have to tell you you had it. You knew you had the Holy Ghost. And when you got back to the next service, you couldn't wait to tell somebody you had the Holy Ghost. But we call just falling out under an anointing and have a chill running up your back if the air's on too cold. And we said we have the Holy Ghost. But something ought to change. You can't still act with the same foolishness when you get the Holy Ghost. The church itself cannot allow the world to continue to rewrite the Bible. And as gospel preachers and evangelists and those that minister the word of God, we cannot get caught up into this world's foolishness. And we cannot afford to be ashamed to preach holiness and righteousness in this confused world. As a matter of fact, it's confusion. When children grow up, and even if the mom and the daddy have to go a separate way, but they have to be raised in the home where they got to call mama and her friend daddy, and both of them women. That's confusion. It's confusion. I'm going here. This is 106. It took me 106 years to get here. I ain't got 106 more, so I... It's confusion for two men to live together. You ought to say something before we find you out up in here. Somebody been snake bitten. As a matter of fact, if you say that same-sex marriages, a person just ought to have that right. They're not bothering you, so leave me alone because I have... that right, you know, I know the government can give you that right, but the Bible just hadn't given you that right, you know. As a matter of fact, if it's right for the same sex, if two men can marry each other, if two women can marry each other, where do the rights stop at? What's to stop a man from liking his daughter? Why? What's to stop a woman from liking her son? What's to stop a brother from liking his sister? They ain't bothering you. Why is it that they can't have the same... Matter of fact, he might want to marry his mule. If it looks good enough to him, he might not like it long, but... So if the Bible is not used, then what guidelines will the church use? Hello, somebody. What guidelines will we use to curb our activity? As a matter of fact, and I'm not homophobic at all, because I got enough sense to know that we're not bashers. And I know that people are sometimes struggling with issues. There's some things people are locked in against their will. They're not trying to be in that. You can't help being chocolate and dark. You are who you are. I don't care if you bleach yourself. You're still who you are. You're going to be this to the bone till you get out of here. But I can't get up in the morning and decide that I'm going to be white. And equate that with a civil right. That in the morning I decide I want to be her, and tomorrow, next week, I decide I don't want to be him. That's confusion. I'm almost done. I know some of y'all say, hurry up and get done, but... I got this mic now. They told me how many minutes I got. I'm trying to use every last one of them. It's a very sensitive subject, and I know this. And so now that every household, I don't care who you are, is somewhere in our household. We all has been affected by it, so we are not haters because we preach against it. Preachers preach against sin. If we don't preach against sin, what is there left for us to preach against? That's the only thing in the church. Can't nobody get up and testify. Can't nobody get up and testify. I'm the greatest adulterer in the world. God bless. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can't nobody say I'm the best fornicator ever walked up in here. Well, then how can you testify? Yeah. Anyhow, it's a sensitive subject. And so we are called haters, and we are not haters. The people that hate you is the people that won't tell you the truth. I would hate to be on the road and somebody has took the bridge washed out sand down and somebody else knew I was headed down the road and wouldn't tell me that the bridge is washed out and then come up with that oops. But if you can believe there's a heaven, then you ought to have enough sense to believe there's a hell. And what has happened in today's society, people are not scared of hell because we don't hear that much about hell. Nobody loves prosperity better than me. Nothing is wrong with prosperity. Matter of fact, we teach it, we preach it, we live by it. We teach our members every Sunday, give an offering, you will be blessed. There ought to be a time where you ought to be able to give an offering without us offering you anything. But prosperity is a God-given tool with a God-given life. There are some folks that live better than you do and live like hell. So you cannot measure by how saved you are by how much you're supposed to have. If everybody's going to be a millionaire, who's going to take the garbage out? Who gonna sweep the floor? Sensitive subject. When is the saints gonna come out the closet? Everything out the closet but the saints. Look like the saints are scared. We preachers, we're scared because I know we do everything to keep every member. I know don't nobody want to lose a member. I know I don't want to lose a member. But sometimes, to save this one that's trying is worth losing something that's not going to benefit you anyhow. Well, everything's in the church. But if you become snake bitten, you can't function in an effective manner. It's a shame when brothers can't love one another. You might not like me, but if you want to see God, you better love me. How can you say you love God, whom you have not seen, and hate your brother, who you see every day? You've been snake bitten. Paul here, as we know as the greatest apostle, this man here had such a connection with God, but recognized the stance of the church. When you look through his different writings and you go even to 1 Corinthians, you see how he basically spanked that church at Corinth real well. And he began to really lay it on real tough, and then he somewhat apologizes to him, recognizing how he had driven home his aspects of holiness. But in 2 Corinthians, he kind of put a little salve on the wound, kind of let him know that even though I was a little rough on you, but still I'm not changing what I said, but let you know there is a more perfect way. When you get over to Acts 21 and 10, you find out that Paul now is in an entire different situation. You find out that going through announcing who he is in that 16th chapter, he's been put in jail with his comrade Silas for just casting the devil out of a gal. Gal had that spirit of divination, that fortune-telling spirit. I know none of y'all got them 900 cards in your pocket now. But they sang songs and praise. Sane until heaven got word. God dispatched the earthquake so powerful till it shook the foundation. I think the church need a shaking again. The foundation shook till the gates swung open, till the shackles fell off, till the bands broke loose. But then when the jailer come back and saw all of the effects of what prayer and praise had done, he took his sword out and decided that he would kill himself. But Paul spoke up and said, do yourself no harm. We here, we not running like jackrabbits. They beat us and put us in here. We gonna stay here and let them see what the word of God will do. And the young man spoke up and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? I think, and this is not an indictment because it has to indict me as a preacher, that when the preachers turn to holiness, when we stand for the God of the Bible, when we love God more than we love ourselves, when we love God more than we love our Bentley, when we love God more than we love our Gators, we'll see some things happening right in the midst. Oh, I'm not super deep by anybody's chance. I just love the Lord. But Paul gets himself in a position to where different types of sufferings is now being portrayed by him. But you'll find a scripture where the apostles counted it worthy. You don't find nobody trying to suffer. But they counted it worthy to suffer shame for Christ. Well, Acts 21 and 10, Paul now is confronted with a group of people that basically have become antagonistic with his gospel. And then the Holy Ghost begins to warn Paul of the different types of sufferings. Get over to Acts 21 and verses 12 through 14, you see where Paul is determined now to go to Jerusalem and suffer. Well, in that same chapter, verses 26 through 36, Paul is accused, and not only accused, but he is mobbed, beaten, and arrested. Sound like something will happen in South Memphis. But then verses 37 and 40, Paul now begins to demand that he speaks to the people. Noting the fact that he can change the hearts of the people. Maybe he could last a little longer with his gospel movement. But then chapter 22 comes along, and you find out in verses 1 through 11 that Paul gives his defense before a mob. And not only does he give his defense, but he had a testimony. And he began to testify about his conversion, began to tell how he was on that road to Damascus, but he was under arrest by a light that was shining so bright that he fell from his beast and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he asked the question and answered in the same tone, who art thou, Lord? And he told Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the prick. I get over to chapter 23. Paul now in verses 1 through 8, he begins to give his defense. After it didn't do much good before the mob, he gave it before the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin consisted of about 70 Jews that basically was the Supreme Court at that time. And they was the one that would control the future of your life. But now in that Sanhedrin, Paul has a strategy. And if you ever want ministry to go forth, you got to have some type of strategy. And his strategy was that I need to find a way to get out of this mob mentality. So he begins to look at some Pharisees and some Sadducees. And Paul began to talk about a resurrection. Resurrection, you understand that the Pharisee believed that there was a resurrection. But you had the Sadducees that could not believe in the resurrection. I heard somebody say that's why they were called sad, you see. And as he began to preach about the resurrection, and the Sadducees got upset, and the Pharisees was basically at odds with them, it gave Paul time. But then in verses 12 and 15 of that 23rd chapter, you find that a conspiracy is made to kill Paul. But Paul had a nephew Bible said his sister's son was there. And he overheard the conspiracy that was made to kill Paul. Then you get to Acts 23 and verse 16. When this conspiracy was discovered, he told Paul, and Paul began to get the message to the right people. Chapter 24, verses 1 through 9, Paul was brought before Felix. And this accusation again was made against him. But in that 10th and 21st verse, Paul gives his defense and he brings up his testimony. Then he decides that I'm not getting anywhere with these circuit courts. Let me go to the civil court. Then he appeals to Caesar. In that 25th chapter, in them first 12 verses, now as he appeals to Caesar, he determined that Caesar would be his way out. But come to find out, there was another roadblock. But in chapter 26, you'll find out now, said, let me go to Agrippa. And when he finally gets down, and I got to get out of here, he gets down to Agrippa. And notice that he's caught King Agrippa's attention. Then he began to testify again about his conversion. I like the standard that Paul has set because his testimony wasn't changing. And it made him a believable candidate. That while he began to tell of his conversion, and when he looked at the king, he said, King, I know you believe. And the king looked back and said, Paul, almost thou. He persuaded me to be a Christian. I preached a message some different times ago when almost is not good enough. Not enough to just have almost. Some folk never be in the trouble where they're in now. They had got past almost. Or it wouldn't be some children looking like folk if they had got past almost. It's a whole lot of things. Anyhow, chapter 27, Paul is sent to Rome. While he goes to Rome, he begins to give some advice about a trip because the Holy Ghost had been speaking to Paul. And while he began to give the advice, his advice was rejected. And I know many people do not like to be rejected. But one thing I found out early on in ministry, there come in times where you're going to be rejected. Even every member in your church ain't receiving everything you preach. And they saying amen and praise the Lord and looking at the watch, how long is he going to be up there? But then when you get to that 27th chapter, you'll find out that here Paul's advice is beginning and that was rejected now is going to have to come into play. For the crew encounters a storm. There was a storm called Euroclydon. And Euroclydon simply means a tempestuous wind. And I know some of you all have had some Euroclydons in your life. Tempestuous wind that comes from the north and comes from the south and comes from the east and comes from the west. And when they meet, it causes a circular motion known today as a typhoon, a upgraded hurricane. But while they're in the midst of the storm, the men was up and down, rocking and reeling just like a drunk man. But Paul begins to remind them of the dream and the vision that he had. Began to let him know, I heard from God. And God said, we can make it through the storm. And let them know that when we get toward shore, when they drop anchor, the ship gonna break up. There's some of you not strong enough to swim, but those that can swim, swim the shore. The rest of you grab a piece of the ship. Even though you're making it on broken pieces, you still gonna make it ashore. And I found out that some of us got some broken ships. And our people are hanging on to the pieces, trying to get to shore. But if you hang on in there, God got a delivery date. You ought to tell somebody with your name on it. But when they got to shore, come to find out that
they ended up on an island called Melita. And on this island, there were some people that was called barbarians. And no, they was not cannibalistic people. But they were called barbarians because of the language barrier. In other words, they did not speak Hellenistic Greek. And if you did not speak Hellenistic Greek, you were simply called a barbarian. But Paul may have not spoken the same language, but they had the same heart. And they began to build a fire. And Paul was not the kind of person that watched everybody else build the fire. But Paul was building his own fire. And that's something you need to learn to do in church today. You can't wait on everybody else to start your praise. But you ought to tell somebody, build your own fire. You ought to learn how to give God a hallelujah if nobody gonna give him one. Something I found out by praise, that you don't have to have an audience to give God some praise. You can praise him, vacuum your flow. And sometimes you just think of God's goodness. That song Clean was singing, "Let the Healing Begin." You can just think about how you need a healing in your spirit. Hands might go up. You can praise him washing them dishes. Tile may go up. You can even praise him driving an old car. Had to pull over to the side and just tell God how good he's really been to you. You ought to tell somebody, been real kind to me. But something about praise, we oftentimes use it as an excitement too, just to try to stir up a crowd. But praise will change your atmosphere. I know what I'm talking about. But while Paul was building his fire, putting sticks on the fire, the Bible said a viper came out of the heat of the fire and fastened on Paul's hand. And Paul shook him off and shook him in the fire. And the people start looking at him and says, "Surely his time is limited. Surely he won't make it through it." But tell somebody, he shook it off. And when he shook it off, he shook the effects off. And we know today that we got some snakes. We got snakes even in the church. You got snakes at Sunday school teaching stuff that the Bible don't teach. You got snakes going to the prison ministry, going there looking for a husband. You got snakes, but tell somebody, when the snake bite, shake it off in the fire. It's not enough to come to church and make church out of a gigantic club. Church is not a club. I know when I came into the board of bishops, I heard somebody say, "You're in the chain gang." I said, "I was in the game when I was in the streets." I came into this because I had some men that said they want to live holy. And they wanted somebody to lead them. And so I don't talk game mentality to them. Because if you talk game mentality, you use gain actions. And gains destroy one another. Gains shoot down one another. Gains lie to one another. When the snake bite, just tell somebody to shake him off and shake him in the fire. And every one of you has some snakes somewhere. Sometime he's right in your house. Eat your pork chop. Drink your Kool-Aid. Lay over in your bed. Driving your car. Won't even tell you thank you. Snake got that baby. Won't pay child support. And then talking about don't look like him. Snake. Tell somebody, when the snake bites, shake him off in the fire. Snakes dance all over you. Tell you how much they love you. Can't stand to see you coming. Snake. Time gone. Snakes everywhere. Folks don't like snakes. I really don't like snakes. Watching the National Geographic the other night, and I saw some terrible snakes. Snakes, they had all different kinds. And every snake is not poisonous, but it'll make you hurt yourself. You don't hear what I'm saying. I don't want to be bothered with one. But a snake will lie in the crack, and he'll lay right there. And the old folks, you say, had it been a snake, it would have bit you. Because you couldn't identify him. Why? Because he blend in so good. Sometime he can be on your pew. He said, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Ta, 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 ta. A snake. Just tell somebody, shake him off, shake him off. Why don't you just shake yourself one time? Shake him off. Snake. Something that we don't want to deal with. But when the snake bite, shake him off and shake him in the fire. As I close here, I just want to let you know that Church of God in Christ, we got some things that we need to shake off. We can't cool inside with everything that come along. We got to shake off these dogmatic doctrines, the things that we hadn't been taught. We got to shake some stuff off. Some folks that bringing things into the church that we know is not holiness. We got to shake some things off and quit coinciding. Shake him off. I remember I heard a little story of an airplane pilot that was carrying some dangerous cargo. Tell somebody some snakes. He had some snakes on board. And they loaded the snakes. And he and the co-pilot, they began to taxi down the runway. And while they was taxiing, the plane was rocking. The plane was reeling. And it had some crates that fell over. Crates of snakes, all types of snakes. Some cobras on there. Some moxicans on there. Rattlesnakes on there. And begin to crawl through the plane. Co-pilot taking off in the air is what you call a dedicated flight, which means it ain't no turning around. And while they was headed into the sky, flying their plane, relaxing, having a good time talking, all of a sudden, snakes had made his way to the cockpit. And the co-pilot caught one out of the corner of his eye. And he looked at the pilot. He said, brother pilot, he said, don't look now, but we got some snakes on board. What we gonna do? The pilot said, I don't know what to do, but I'm gonna call the control tower. And got on the phone, said, control tower, control tower. Mayday, we got some snakes on board. Control tower come back, said, what's the problem? He said, we got snakes, we got them on board here. What we gonna do? Control tower said, I don't know anything to do. He said, but the other day, he said, I read an article that a snake, he can't stand a high altitude. Move on up, just a little higher. Hey, they got on up to 20,000 feet. Snake was rocking. Snake was reeling. But they wouldn't pass out. The pilot, he called back. He said, control tower, control tower. The snakes are still rumbling. And they're not dead. Control tower. And I can't tell you anything. But move on up. Just a little higher. Hey, got on up to 30,000 feet in the air. The snake passed out. The pilot looked at the co-pilot. Said, fly with me as we ride the friendly sky. I drop out here in this 106th convocation. That when the snake bite, shake came off and move on up just a little higher. Hey, get on the plug. Every line, every ditch that's been dug. Get on the plug. Every story that's been run on you. And move on up just a little higher. Hey, glory. Every round gets a little better. Every round we go higher. And every time you go higher, you shaking a snake at your system. You can run with what God put in you. You can shout with what God placed in you. You can praise with what God has in you. Tell somebody, when the snake bites, shake him off and move on up just a little higher. Hey, keep on praising until God changes circumstances. Keep on praising until God changes your atmosphere. Keep on praising. Listen. Snakes come in all kinds of form. Three-piece suits, silk dresses, stilettos. Snake bitten. We got things that we got to concentrate on. We're losing effectiveness. We're losing people in our churches. Believe it or not, when we use certain world tactics and said, we use a scripture out of context so many times, he that winneth souls is wise. God has never told you to act, look, or talk like the devil to win him. We want to use, he went around the sinners, and he did, Jesus did all that. And he did not go around a sinner changing who he was. He didn't go around. I don't believe he put his toga on backwards. I don't believe he, yo dog. I believe that when he went to Zacchaeus' house, he was just as straight as he was. When he went to Jairus' house. And so we use one word. And they say, we don't have enough of it. You all are not loving. See, this is the trick. It's confusion that Satan is using on the church. And that one word, love. You all are haters. We're not haters. We love everybody. I got enough sense to know I got everything in my church. And if you think everybody in your church save you snake bitten. Do you not know how many folks want to hear the truth? As many people as you think. Let me tell you something. I ain't trying to hit at nobody, but I might as well go here because it's the popular thing that's going on now. We preachers, especially in the church, that's the reason I thank God for the women. We can say what we want to. You take these women out here, we can shut this down and go home and play some golf all day. But what's the problem that there's a mosque a couple of miles from my church that on Friday you can't get down Winchester because of men? Matter of fact, it's so musty up in there you can smell it out on Winchester. It's just musty men. And they pile up in there on one another, just up in there. Standing out in the heat with a bean pie and a fruit bag. In the cold with a bow tie, bean tie, little hat, smiling. You, I hope your saints ain't said nothing to them, but they looking and going to the next car all day long. And here we are. We're in the chain gang. I can't stand to see you coming.
See?
You don't have to like me. Just love me.
There you go.
That's real love.
Yeah.
This love that people are trying to equate with to try to justify behaviors is eros, fleshful love. It ain't hard to say you love something that looks good to you. Let me just say this. So you say, where are you going? There's some very figurative women in here. Ain't no need of acting like they ain't figurative. Ain't no need talking about the devil lying either. He ain't lying. They are what they are. You just make choices. We make choices in behavior. Oh, you might be influenced by the devil, but we still make choices. Huh? Same thing it is about this confusion that's going on about sexuality. We're not haters. We're not haters at all. But that's just a standard that the church... You mean that the church was dumb for all these thousands of years and all of a sudden we just got smart and found out what the true revelation and all them old saints just went on not knowing what the truth was? Saint, just because we can't control our appetite don't mean the Bible ain't right. The Bible is still right. We just ain't controlling the appetite. It's so easy to get snake bitten. Do you not know, as long as I've been preaching, we buried, the late Bishop Patterson was buried on a Saturday in May. 2 days later, my only son named after me, William Samuel Wright Jr., died of a cocaine addiction. Hardest day in my wife and my life. I got a 911 tape. I let Dr. Wooden, I think he was in my office one, let him hear it. A couple of more people. I was downtown at a condo and wife was at the other house and Bill Jr. called me. And I said, call your mama. You know how your dad is always telling him, call your mama. So he called his mother because he was supposed to meet me downtown. And she said, Bill Jr. don't sound right. My son had been on cocaine. And my son had gotten straight, mother. And he and his girlfriend got into it. He, what they call relapse. Never did crack cocaine. Well, what's the difference? Both of them destroy you. And so while she said, I'm going home because he wants me to go to Rite Aid because he feel he got gas. And so she went on to the house. And a few moments later, she called and said, hurry up and get home. She didn't give me no details. I'm driving like a maniac trying to get home. But what had happened that he had called 911. And while he called 911, on the 911 tape, I have it in my drawer now, the operator said, 911. He said, I need an ambulance. And she said, what for? He said, I've taken some cocaine. She said, where are you? And he starts saying, forgive me, Lord, and thank you, Jesus. She said, what is he saying? Another operator was on, said, I have his location, and I'm headed to his house now. While he was headed there, he went into a thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And by that time, my wife pulls up at the house and his best friend pulls up in the house. And when she goes in, he said, Lord, I don't want to live like this no longer. This time, the police got there before the paramedics did. And when they went in And while he was hyperventilating, they think he's scuffling. They put handcuffs on him. He goes into cardiac arrest and dies in front of my wife. She watched him come in. She watched him go out. And when he said, I don't want to live like this no more, Lord, forgive me, and threw his head and died. When I get to the house, they putting yellow tape around my home. Paramedic lives across the street from me. He said, Reb, you can't go in. I said, why? He said, you just can't. And I said, why? But I look in the back of the ambulance and paramedic was jumping upside, just jumping up and down, trying to resuscitate my only son. He said, I believe Bill is gone. I said, what do you mean? Porter came out. It was the hardest day of my life. Snake bitten. I didn't feel like preaching another nothing. I felt like I had lost my life, which I lost a part of it. Bishop Blake was at the funeral. Matter of fact, about 40 of these bishops was at the funeral. And while there, I made a statement that the average pastor, while we busy fighting each other, our own homes is like the proverbial painter. Everybody's house is painted and ours messed up. Everybody like the proverbial mechanic. Everybody else's car is fixing, yours smoking. And I made it up in my mind that I'm not going to neglect my house. I ain't got time. I don't care what Deborah Wright wants. Whatever it is, I'm going to spend it. I done spent money on other folk and my own house go. I'm buying whatever she wants whenever I get ready, however I want to do it. We got more years behind us than we got ahead. And I believe that the church has been so tricked and snake-bit that a whole lot of folk in the church really don't believe it's a hell. But hell is real. We don't hear people talk about hell no more because people don't like to hear that. And what is going to profit? We gain all this stuff and then just go to hell. And you can't get no parole. It ain't like you can go there and do 3 months and say it was hot and I'm out. No, you there. And so watching, go into a room and look at a gurney and look at my son, dead. Over 130 some young people came. I said at the funeral that some of you did the drugs with him. Some of you sold the drug to him. Bishop Daniels, you was there. I said, but it's time. Over the next 6 months after that funeral, I must have had at least 175 young folks to contact me. How can I get to rehab? How can I? Listen, we got folks dying and going to hell. Everybody don't want to be in homosexuality. I know some folk feel like I'm just born that way. There's some folk I've talked to say, I know I wasn't born this way. There's folk in this room right now. You had evil perpetrated on you. Your uncles, them old bad daddies and them half daddies and all that stuff got a hold to you. Mess you up. Cousins and stuff that people was leaving the children with while they go to the convocation and children kicking, I don't want to stay over Uncle Bubba's house, and you making them stay there. And when they get back and you wondering what in the world wrong with you, you right up in here. Time is gone. I got to put my people on this bus and get out of here. But there's some people you've been snake bitten. It's time for you to shake it off. In the next 10 minutes, we can be out of here if you do this. I just believe they had a consecration service this morning. But I believe it's the saints go back to the basis. Quit being ashamed. Ain't no shame. The shame is gone. This is family here. This is family. But some people came to this convocation and said, Lord, if I can just get a word to get through this pressure. You've been snake bitten. People are struggling with habits. People are struggling with dysfunctional things that's going on in their lives. Everybody don't want to be like that. Everybody don't. Man, Bill Jr. talked to me. He said, Dad, I don't want to be like this. He said, you don't understand. He said he tried it one time. one-time deal. And when I talked to him and rolled him around, I spent over $70,000 in one center. Sent him to a center where he had congressman children and governor's children there, one of the best in the world. And he was so excited to be there and came back. And good. One incident turned that whole thing around. Turn it around. And I live with it on a daily basis. It ain't a morning I don't wake up and ask, what more could I have done? And then the Lord said, the snake bit you. Shake it off. Some of you here, you've been snake bit. Some things we can't even tell folk because the saints won't let you tell it. We need a rehab center. Because if the folk ain't filled with the Holy Ghost, where else they going to go? They need to go to rehab. We need money allocated for somebody. He ain't shame. A Bishop Roger Jones, that somebody that can take over and look at this and say, hey, I can deal with this. Why? Because I've been there. But you know what we do? We snake bitten, we poison, but we dressed up, look like we got it going on, and we messed up. Man, we look good. We sharp. And the bad part about it is being sharp and ain't going nowhere. Our children is dying. Word Church taking all our children. Folk now left Baptist Church and just call themselves Baptist because they got all our children. Shouldn't have no problem with the letter to report. We need to open up some things within our church. And that don't mean that we don't have the Holy Ghost. So people get deep. Well, if everybody get the Holy Ghost, well, everybody ain't got the Holy Ghost. Church ain't just made for us to come here and shout in. We got some other folk. Yeah, it's homosexual, I'm quite sure. Go to my church. I just ain't finna get them to go ahead and act like it's all right. That's all. We can't give adulterers green light. We can't give them green light. Hello, somebody. Where do we go from here? Being real. If you can give me 2 minutes, if you're not ashamed, and if you can say, I know the snake has bit me, but I'm going to stand in the gap for my child, my husband, my daughter, my wife. I want you to move quickly down to this altar right now. You can do it from wherever you are. You ought to get up because you have to stand for that person. You have to stand for that person. Quit. We ain't trying to judge nobody. This family. This is a family here. You move quickly. 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 We try to act like everybody got some messed up folk in their family. I don't care what you say. All of our families messed up. We got some messed up folk. I don't want to see another child go to hell, go anywhere. Only relief I got out of my son's death, that he died, and asking God to forgive him. And I just believe God said, if you come to me, I would in no wise. Hello, somebody. I just believe he had enough sense. My wife and I steal that in our children. Those that online, watching this online around this world, right there in your home, stand in the gap for your children. Stand in the gap for your children. Cameras are showing these people by the hundreds that are coming. Come now from wherever you are. We got to do something different, y'all. We fighting each other and the devil is jumping up and shouting and having a good time. I don't have time to fight you. Even if you don't like me, don't fight me. Just love me. You don't have to go home with me. You don't have to ride with me. Just love me. We got to work together. Our common enemy is the devil. You not my enemy. The devil is the enemy. God, you see these that have gathered here. You know the hurt. People made it to convocation on broken pieces. Just said, I just want to get there. People, some came taking chances. They left children back home. Don't know if they're going to get back home if the door is not left wide open and nothing in the house. They left with that mindset.
Some don't even know where the child is. That daughter that's walking the street, that son that's in the crack house right now. God, you know how to send your word, and that word know how to hunt them down and find them there. In the name of Jesus, send your word there. Rebuke the hand of the enemy. Satan, we don't beg or plead with you, but we command you to take your hands off. These are God's people. They are God's responsibility. And the blood of Jesus cover the day. We thank God for the blood. God, you know how to tear down every stronghold, break every yoke, destroy the tactics and the wiles of the devil. In the name of Jesus, the blood prevails in this place. And we thank you for the blood, Lord. The blood makes whole. We come against every snake bite. We shaking it off right now. It dare not poison our system. But we are people of God. And as we stand in the gap for our loved ones, we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. We thank you for healing. We thank you for deliverance. As we praise you over here, you will fix it over there. Thank you, Lord. Have your own way. Have your own way. Let your glory prevail amongst these people. In the name of Jesus, we bless your name. We bless your name, Jesus. We bless your name. Thank you for healing. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for breakthrough. Our soul say yes. Our soul magnify you. Our soul bless your name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Salvation is here. Open up and let him come in. Let him come in. The power of the Holy Ghost is here. Not only will he save you, but he'll fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just let him have his way here. Come on and let him have his way. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Loose your hold here. The blood come against you today. The blood makes whole. The blood sets free. The blood delivers here. Come on and thank God. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you for your breakthrough. Thank him right now. Oh, Jesus, we give you praise. Oh, we give you glory. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My soul say yes. Yes, Lord. My soul magnify you. Yes. Yes, Lord. Oh, God. Even as those that make their phone calls and call back home, we hear reports that, hallelujah, and some said, Mom, I got delivered. Daddy, guess what happened to me? Hallelujah. God can put them under arrest wherever they are. I don't care where they are. Matter of fact, he can put a raid on the crack house where they can get them out the crack house and get them to somewhere else. God knows what to do, knows how to do it. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, let somebody shout, I got the victory. Oh, I got the victory. Oh, you go back to your seat. Once you just heard two people say, I'm taking that thing off. I'm taking it hurt off. I'm taking it pain off. I'm taking it off, taking it off, taking it off, taking it off. Nobody leaving this building. Nobody leaving unless it's absolute necessity. Nobody. Nobody's leaving. Nobody. We give him all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You. Nobody's leaving unless you have to. I can remember the day where the saints wouldn't just walk out of the church. We give you. We give you all.
גדול, אלוהי, שיר כי גדול, אלוהי, כל אחד יראה, כי גדול, אלוהי. הארץ תהלל, נער באור נזכר, כל צל נסמי פנה, קולו מרים הרים, קולו מרים הרים, גדול
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.